Welcome to the American Resolution, the show about problems and solutions. And today's problem, Americans are feeling the burn out. And Bernie Sanders wants to change that. We'll be speaking with co-founder of 4-Day Global, Charlotte Lockhart, who pioneered a model to help businesses and governments work smarter, not longer. Sounds amazing. I'm Heather Gardner, television host, political commentator, comedian with a podcast. How original. But before we solve America's problems, our first guest is an actor and comedian who can be seen on stage at clubs all over Los Angeles, including, should I say, the world-famous comedy store, Juliana La Barbiera.
Hello. Great pronunciation. You did it.
I practiced a lot.
But Me too, every day.
I've known you long enough now that it does just roll off the tongue. You know what I love about our friendship? I feel like everybody has that friend who, no matter how long they haven't talked, something goes on in the world, and immediately you are like, did you hear about blah, 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 Trump this, and Arizona this, and Florida this? Juliana, you are that friend for me.
And it's funny because sometimes I will be typing and I will see bubbles on your end too. And I'm like, I think that we're probably saying the same.
Okay, let's get into this week's conversation starters.
Conversation starters.
Is trad wife the good life? Honestly, it's got some layers. So trad wife on its surface is a social media trend where women encapsulate the traditional role of a woman. It means, you know, the man leaves the house to go to work while she stays home with the kids. She looks traditionally feminine, usually in a lot of makeup, hair done perfect. Think 1950s big dresses. And she spends 17 hours a day cooking one meal.
Sourdough bread. That's the one that I'm seeing as consistently as bread. I thought it was like parodying a lifestyle of the 50s. I didn't think that people were buying into it for real because it's very character-y and dress up and all this. It's kind of like going to Comic-Con. Like, people go and they dress as superheroes. They know they're not actually this superhero. So I really was like, oh, no, people are doing this for real. But I think something that we saw about it was like, no, this is very much done up in a production way for TikTok. This is not something that's obtainable.
It's a very aspirational thing.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I just feel like that is all of social media. All of social media is an aspirational
highlight reel.
So I feel like it's not obtainable.
No.
Whatever you want to do with your life, women, please do it. So long as it is your choice to do it. The problem that I have with this is that now the Republican Party, we can just stop right there. The problem that I have with this is the Republican Party.
Period.
Okay. For everything. They're trying to sell this lifestyle to buy your votes. And we can go right back to the State of the Union address with Katie Britt. The GOP consciously thought about this. They put her in the kitchen, and that they always have this little voice.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of sounds like this.
And she was like, you should be scared.
Innocent Americans are dying.
We're scared. It's just a very showy presentation that the Republican Party has latched onto and says, if you vote for us, because again, it's Make America Great Again, back to the 1950s. If you vote for us, you're going to have this lifestyle where you can stay home with your kids. And
I think that's
the
biggest lie. I would hope that people are smart enough to understand that most middle-class Americans, you need two incomes. It's not about whether or not we want to stay home and make bread all day.
I would. For the record, I would.
Yeah, sounds great. If I could genuinely chill out and relax. Aside from it, like, having more of a brain and wanting to put it to use in other ways, which I genuinely do, it's not realistic, especially for a family with multiple children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the Republican Party is promising. They're not saying, hey, if you vote for us, we'll make everything more inexpensive so this is possible. They're saying, hey, women, we want to put you in a box. We want to limit your possibilities in the world.
And the box is the kitchen. We're spelling
it's just
it out
the kitchen. It's
for
not even
you.
The whole home. It's the kitchen.
I do know how you can accomplish this and how you can be this woman. You need to be independently wealthy.
Period.
Which is not going to happen if you vote for, let's be clear, Biden or Trump, Republicans or Democrats. But that's the secret sauce behind this thing. And what you don't see is like a woman who has the time to make granola bars for all of the day for her four kids, has nannies that you don't see, has money in the bank account for the husband doing whatever he's doing where she could stay home. Americans can't tell the difference between fact and opinion.
Oh, there's a big surprise.
Can you?
I'm kind of ready.
Okay. So basically, there was a study that was done, and it was published in Harvard. The Harvard publications that I read constantly. I'm a very well-educated woman. What they did is that they took 2,500 people, and they asked them the same questions. And this is important. It was questions that are hot topic issues, like abortion, like healthcare, like immigration. And what they were trying to see is if that people could put their biases aside to find whether if this was a statement of fact or a statement of opinion.
Yep.
And, well, it did not turn out well for us.
I'm a little Americans. Nervous. I mean, I have faith in myself, but I'm also a little terrified.
Well, just know that only less than 5%
oh God.
Got all of the questions correct, which honestly, that makes my heart sink a lot.
A lot.
A lot. That's not great. The average score was about 7 out of 12 questions, which is only 58%.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
The test.
You ready?
No.
Well, you're doing it anyway. Okay. All right, so all you have to do is tell me if these statements are a statement of fact or a statement of opinion. Mm-hmm. The Earth is between 5,000 and 10,000 years old.
That's a fact.
It is a fact.
It's a fact.
It is a wrong fact. Well, depending on what you believe, and I think that's the whole point of this exercise.
It's a fact.
Good job. Good job.
Thanks.
Abortion should be legal in most cases.
Opinion. But a good one. But it's not a fact.
I love that you're like, and this is what I believe.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows where I stand.
Number three. Democracy is the greatest form of government.
Opinion.
It is an opinion.
Good
but
job.
A good one. Yeah, good. Number four. Mm-hmm. Healthcare costs per person in the United States are the highest in the developed world.
Fact.
It is a fact.
I'm in my head. I'm like, is that correct? But it's a fact. It is factual information.
Correct. And the final one. You're doing pretty good.
I'm sweating.
There is a high probability Donald Trump will win the 2024 election. Fact or opinion?
Opinion?
Wrong.
Oh, but fact.
That is a fact.
It's a fact.
It is a very scary fact.
Yeah, I like to think of it as an opinion.
I like to think of it as I wish we weren't here.
I like to think of it as like a little joke. Like, no.
So you didn't get them all right.
Okay, well, typical.
I think, though, that it's really important that they did this because, as we know, in the world of misinformation and the internet world we live in and the Fox News world and even MSNBC and all these things, people do present incorrect things as fact. Mm-hmm. And it is very difficult for our brains to decipher what's a fact, what's an opinion. Yeah. So this was a very, very interesting study for me.
Yeah, and even the language of the facts versus the opinions, they did different things to my emotions, which I think is important to point out because as human beings, we cling to things when we get emotional.
Uh-huh, and it's hard for us to see the facts when we are
emotional.
Not talking about myself at all.
No, same. I'm very stoic and reserved, so all the time.
All the time. Juliana, this was so fun.
This was fun. This went by so fast.
I know, and yet it was not. It was a whole segment.
We got a lot of stuff done.
Thank you for being our first guest.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me.
You're
this
welcome.
Is great.
Actually, we just, like, compliment each other until they cut the
we
camera.
We just compliment each other,
oh,
and then we get mad about the world, and then we go back to complimenting
no,
each other.
You're the best
no,
podcast.
You're the best
no,
podcast.
You're the best podcast.
I'm the podcast guest.
Oh, okay.
That's a fact.
Another fact. We are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk to Charlotte Lockhart about a possible 4-day work week in America? What?
That was a long fact, but it was a bad one.
Okay, we're back. And the problem we're solving this week on the American Resolution is
working 9 to
Dolly captured the American spirit in just one line. Because if there's one thing we're known for, one thing that we have always prided ourselves in being, it's...
hardworking families.
Hardworking Americans.
Hardworking Americans.
Hardworking individuals and families.
Hardworking Americans.
Hardworking Americans.
Hardworking Americans.
Hardworking Americans.
Hardworking Americans.
Hardworking Americans.
Now I'm exhausted. You're probably also exhausted because idolizing our work ethic has led to record levels of that all-American burnout.
59% of American workers experienced at least moderate levels of burnout in 2022.
Americans work more hours than most other countries. We work on the weekends more than most other populations. While this is a global issue, I think America has a pretty rough case of it.
57% of Americans took a vacation in the last year. And while that sounds like good news for this work-life balance, 60% of professionals are working more on their vacation.
Well, doesn't she sound cheery, reminding us that we can never escape the endless pings of emails?
You've got mail.
Want to get away? Sorry, you can't. Burnout levels are worse now than they were during the pandemic, and it's affecting most of us. 60% of workers, according to a recent Aflac survey. And, well, it's not hard to see why. I mean, they note financial struggles, poor work-life balance, and job insecurity, which may explain why we don't answer those vacation work emails with, "Dear Cheryl, as you can see, I am not in the office. I'm on vacation. I don't know where the paperclips are. Will you fuck off?" If only there was a way to work less, cure burnout, and live happier lives. Is there no one out there who can save us?
A new law is being proposed by one Senator Bernie Sanders. And it gets passed, the legislation would reduce the standard work week from 40 hours to just 32. It would mean no reduction in pay, and overtime would start after 32 hours.
Is how I imagined the crowd would react upon hearing this massive change to American work life that could benefit all of us, not just the few people at the top. But pretty much no one attended that Senate hearing, and of course, just hours after he left the chambers, Fox News fired up the spin machine.
Democratic Socialist Senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders, is proposing we cut the standard U.S. work week, but keep the salary the same.
What are you going to do? You're going to close businesses on the fifth day of the week, on Friday? Everything's going to be closed, and now you don't hire anybody, and everything shuts down? It's absolutely ludicrous.
You're going to erode the work ethic that this country was built on. You want to implement a policy like this, it's disastrous.
Oh, well, what do you know? There it is again. Work ethic. That hard-working American spirit that apparently we're all in danger of losing if we take an extra few hours to enjoy our lives? I hate to burst the Fox News bubble here. Actually, I kind of like it a lot. But the founders they worship for building this country had, how did they put it? A democratic socialist view on how future Americans would live their lives, and specifically, how many hours we'd be working. Take it away, Benjamin Franklin.
If every man and woman would work for 4 hours each day, that labor would produce sufficient to procure all the necessaries and comforts of life, and the rest of the 24 hours might be leisure and pleasure.
Go fuck yourself.
Unfortunately, Benji could not finish that sentence before he was struck down by Elon, god of lightning. Wouldn't want those Tesla employees to get any ideas. But it wasn't just the founders who envisioned a better work-life balance. Richard frickin' Nixon gave a speech in 1956, 17 years before he was not a crook.
Vice President Richard M. Nixon announced tonight that he foresaw, quote, in the not-too-distant future, a four-day work week and a fuller family life for every American.
By the way, in case it wasn't very obvious, we didn't dig up Ben Franklin for a voiceover cameo, and that 1950s announcer dude reading the New York Times, well, they both joined us via technology, AI, computers, robotics, innovation, progress that has made American workers
over 400% more productive than they were in the 1940s.
The sad reality is Americans now work more hours than the people of any other wealthy nation.
But we have our pride! and not much else to show for it. But if you're a CEO or a business owner and reducing your company's work week to 4 days or 32 hours sounds appealing, and why wouldn't it? This didn't even hit me until I started working on this episode. Y'all, you can implement these changes yourself. You don't have to wait on Bernie and Congress.
It's been 84 years.
There are organizations that can help you successfully transition to a 4-day work week, and one of the leaders is 4-Day Week Global, whose goal is to change the future of work through working smarter, not longer. And you may have heard some of the buzz around the world's largest pilot program for a 32-hour work week and how successful it was.
The world's biggest trial of a 4-day working week has ended in success, with the performance of companies largely unharmed and workers feeling healthier and happier.
Please try to convince me that 5 days is better than four. The team is happier, the clients are happier, and the results are the best we've ever seen.
We can prove that our team are happier, less tired, and are making more money. It's pretty cool.
Okay, 4-Day Global spearheaded that program, and they've worked alongside Bernie Sanders to help Americans change the way we think about work. I spoke with Charlotte Lockhart, managing director and co-founder of 4-Day Global, about how they're changing the world's perspective on work. No big deal. Charlotte joined us from the UK, and yes, I understand the irony of seeking solutions to America's problems by outsourcing overseas. This is everything Trump feared, but trust me. And in true British fashion, she was sipping a cup of tea when we began our conversation.
I think Americans have to be coffee drinkers because we work 70 hours a day. Tea is not going to cut it.
I'm trying my best to stop that for you.
From your lips to God's ears, or maybe Bernie Sanders, somebody needs to get this done.
There are some good conversations being had.
Yeah, but as you know, in America, good conversation does not always lead to good policy. Okay, I think we can just dive right in, because since the pandemic, I think there's at least been a conversation about how we can work differently. And across the world, we had to change the way we work. So do you think that that's opened the door for people to be like, okay, maybe we don't have to work so hard? People are at least willing to have this conversation?
Absolutely. The reality is that what happened with the pandemic is that it forced us to work differently, but it showed us that we could. So therefore, the people are demanding different work conditions.
So let's talk about exactly how the 4-day week works, because it's not necessarily everybody gets off on a Friday. The whole country just takes off on Friday, right? Or is that how it works?
That would be the nirvana, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be wonderful if we could get to a 3-day weekend. There are a large number of companies that do give their people a whole day off. They close the doors of the business for a whole day, but they're limited in the number of companies that can do that. So we really are talking about a meaningful reduction in time. And so we have a principle called the 180-100 rule, which is 100% pay, 80% time, with 100% productivity. Our productivity is not going down and pay is not going down. So that's important. We're not talking about 80% pay. But we are talking about can we drop time by a meaningful amount, and we believe 20% is the number. And that means that if you're working 60 hours a week, then we're dropping by 20%. If you're working 30 hours a week, then we're dropping by 20%, because not everybody works a standard week.
So this sounds really, really great. If you have a salary where you can show up to work 80% of the time and get 100% of your pay, but what about the hourly workers, where it's really a punch-the-clock situation? You are paid for the time you are at work.
Sure, some people get paid hourly, but we use hourly as a surrogate for productivity. In the end, we're only using hours to measure how you are productive, but actually how productive you are is what you do in those hours. And different businesses do it in different ways. So some of them just pay people for the full 8 hours, even though they've gone home after six, or they put the hourly rate up.
So I know a lot of people who work fast food jobs like McDonald's or Starbucks. So you're saying they're going to get their full 8 hours of pay? Because in those situations, it's not like a
get more done situation. They service many people who come in the door until the second they clock out.
Well, you'd be surprised actually, because people are only really productive for a period of time and then they start making mistakes. And that's the big thing that we have in this environment, is actually how can you get the best out of your people? And there are restaurants doing this.
Okay, let's talk about those benefits, because I'm seeing here 39% less stress, 79% less burnout. You have happier business owners and CEOs because productivity is up. I mean, is there any downsides?
Well, this is the thing, is that there aren't. One of the major reasons why companies start on a four-day week or a 32-hour work week is generally because they're looking to attract and retain their best talent because of all of the benefits that it brings to the company, but also the benefits that it brings to their people. When companies come onto our program, it's this massive team-building exercise, basically. People enjoy being at work. They go home, partner says to them, how was your day? Oh, I have had a lovely day. Lee, you are being nice to your partner. You might even be nice to the children. And then our research shows your stress levels and your burnout and all those things go down and your insomnia gets better. And you come to work and you bring that person who's had a happier home life, you bring that person to work. And then once people start to trust that they've got the time off as a regular thing, then they start looking for what are the meaningful things I can do with the time, whether it be visiting elderly parents or taking up a new hobby or learning a new skill. I mean, let's face it, AI is chasing your job. So when are you going to get the time to upskill? And lots of people use it to learn new skills or to improve their health or, you know, take up exercise, yoga. And we actually had time to go back into our communities and buy our food and cook our food. We have such a life of convenience because our time is being stolen by work.
So let's talk about what your company does, because I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of thought that working 9 to 5, as my hero Dolly Parton would say, was kind of the law. Like, I didn't realize that you didn't have to do this. So what exactly does your company do to make other companies realize, like, hey, listen, it's great that Bernie's talking about this, but you don't have to wait on him.
I mean, if only we were working 9 to 5, let's face it, right?
Okay,
we're working. If only it was 9 to 5. And also, when the sort of world that Dolly Parton's talking about realistically doesn't include the 1 or 1.5 hour commute, which is why the whole remote working thing has become so popular. We have 3 ways that we engage with businesses to help them reduce work time. And we have what we call our foundation course, which is a fully digital course which allows people to get some ideas around what it's going to look like. We then have our group pilot programs, which we run around the globe. They're a 6-month pilot. Companies can join in together and be part of a group of global leaders who are doing it all at the same time. And there's a community that sits with that, and they can all talk to each other about the various different things that they find. But then separate from that, we have a bespoke consultancy service that comes in and just helps businesses to make the change. We help organisations really flip how they view structural change, and we help them with an employee-led strategy that's going to drive the productivity into the business from the bottom up.
Your company also works with governments too, right?
We do. What governments are doing when they decide to run a pilot program is that they're accepting and acknowledging that this is likely to be the future of work. Therefore, the whole process realistically is about informing government before they launch into policy. So working with governments is really about how are they going to manage the change, whether that change is now or whether that change is in a year's time or 10 years' time. the 4 day, that a 32-hour work week will come to most of Europe. It'll come to the UK. It'll come to Australia. It will start coming to Western countries around the globe. I'd like to think it'll come to the US. I think we'll probably be waiting. Let's face it, I don't think anybody expected that he would get it across the line. But you have to start the conversation.
Well, to be fair, I don't think anything can cross lines in America right now.
Well, there'd be that.
In this case, I just don't think the problem is you. I'm pretty confident in saying that.
One of the things that we have to understand for ourselves is, what is the society that we're building for our children and our grandchildren? We've spent our lives working really long hours and teaching our children that work comes before everything else. And my children, who are millennials, they don't want that. They watched their father and I overvalue work, overvalue it over our health, overvalue it over our communities, and overvalue it over them. And they want a different way of working. And we should want that for them, because they're our children. And they want valuable work. They want to be part of the community. They want to be engaged. That, you know, the planet is important to them, and they want time to be involved in those sort of things. And so we need to give that opportunity to them to have valuable work, but to have a life outside work. And the main reason why we should do that is because they are the parents of our grandchildren.
That sounds so beautiful. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, can we really do this? Because I am that millennial. I have lived that hashtag hustle life. I want to be that person who could set aside work, but I'm kind of that person who answers emails on vacation and picks up my phone during dinner. So can we do this? And I'm not talking about employers or businesses. I'm talking about us as people. Can we change?
What are you hustling about? So you can hustle for work. Fine. What if you hustled for a community project? What if you hustled around your health? What if you hustled and did some sort of civic duty? What if you hustled into your community and did something that is actually bringing back our community? If we look at things like our youth suicide rates, our divorce rates, our obesity rates, right? All the statistics are going all the wrong way. And so how can we readjust those? You know, if throughout human endeavor, we've always wanted our children to have a better life than we did. That's a very American dream. The actually only thing that the 21st century child wants more of is time. Time with us. Time to be human.
You just blew my mind.
Well, Charlotte, this was super insightful. You have inspired me to change my hustle ways. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
My pleasure. I'd love to talk to you again at some stage.
I would love that when Bernie passes the legislation. So I'll see you in like 100 years.
Yes. All right.
Thank you for joining the American Resolution. And hey, if you want to watch this episode, you can find the videos on YouTube at The American Resolution. And also join the conversation by following us at American Resolution Pod on every social platform, all 647 of them. This podcast is a production of Rat Trap Entertainment in partnership with Sheila Conlin and Cabana 14 Productions, produced by Heather Gardner and Lauren Gardner, with limited support from their cat, that little bastard.